I would like to read to you this morning from St. Matthew, chapter 8, beginning with verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake, and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly, and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail! And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city, and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders, and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night, and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught, and this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. This is a day which brings forth the heralding of the good news of the risen Christ within every man. People have had this faith, this belief, that Christ existed 2,000 years ago, and in the form of only one individual, Jesus of Nazareth. But as man comes into the higher realization, he realizes that it applies not to just one man who lived 2,000 years ago, but to himself and to everyone that is on the spiritual path when that time for arising comes. I'd like to read to you this article this morning, which came in a beautiful Easter card, and it's entitled The Art of Believing. All that I have seen, wrote Emerson, teaches me to trust the Creator for all I have not seen. Believing is a daring adventure into the unseen. It is a radiant faith in the unexplored, the undiscovered, the miracles of the future. There is magic in the art of believing. Believe. Engrave these words of the Master in your memory. All things are possible to him that believes. Believe. Believe in the limitless supply of God's goodness. The universe is filled with more wonders than you can imagine. Believe. Project a mental picture of your goal in life. Believing is a creative force that brings the visible out of the invisible. You must believe to achieve. Believe. There is a mental magnet within you that attracts to you what you are. Doubt attracts doubt, and faith attracts faith. Believe. Believe that you are big enough to master any problem that you can handle, that you can handle life. Believe that you can go on growing now and through all eternity. Drive your stake far out in the universe. Believe. That is by Wilfred A. Peterson. We must take things on faith to start with, because we, in our ignorance, in our lack of understanding, and specifically of knowledge and realization, cannot see the end of things. And this is the way it is meant to be, because the way of the cross and the Christ is certainly not an easy one. No one has ever said that it is, because it is the total crucifixion, the total transformation of the human ego. This is not an easy thing to do, because this ego is embedded so deeply within man's consciousness, within his habit patterns, his actions, that he thinks that he is separate from God, when in truth he is part and parcel of the divine that dwells within himself. He is not taught when he is small that Christ resides within him, in this body of flesh, that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The infinite Spirit takes on this garment of flesh, and it comes into this earth to go through all of the experiences which are necessary to bring us to the realization of our oneness with God. And the most wonderful thing is to become aware now, this moment, to believe, to have faith that this is true now. We don't have to wait for it. It is here with us. But man goes through all of these things. He goes through the crucifixion on his own cross, which is his own body. And he goes through all the various experiences that are described in every living scripture in the world. There is no scripture of any of the great religions that does not describe minutely and in detail every bit of man's life as he ascends from the human to the divine. But it comes to this point of higher realization when man has left the orthodox faith behind himself. He has reached out for something new, because he's been given all of these promises of what is going to happen, the second coming of Christ, the end of the world, and it keeps on going forever and forever and forever, and nothing happens any differently than it did before. The world is in a tremendous upheaval, but it has been in a tremendous upheaval before, and since the beginning of mankind, this has been true. We live in this world of duality, and the world is upheaval, but it is this very fact. It is these problems which come to us, these experiences in life which are difficult, sometimes even the crime, the punishment, the violence that gets so great that man cannot stand himself and the world he lives in. And so at that point he lifts his eyes to the hills and he looks for something higher, something upon which he may place his faith and his trust, someone that he can have this faith and this trust in, and who will help him out of his troubles. And you will remember that Jesus said, "Come to me, all ye who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give ye rest. I will." But we look to that one outside when we should be looking within ourselves, because Jesus himself said that God resides inside of this temple, that God and the kingdom of heaven are within. And so we look for this second coming always up outside of ourselves, because this is our nature. We always look to the things of the senses, the things that we can see with human eyes. And yet this human vision must be cut off. It must be transformed. You must go beyond this human mind into the silence of your own soul. And then you will become one with the divine within yourself. And one day you too will know all the meaning of these scriptures, the way of the cross and the Christ. And you will come to that point of total surrender, where you are willing to give your individual human life in order that you may find your real self, the divine within you. That day will come if you strive for it. There are some tremendous souls in this group, many who are ready for this last mile. There has been an awakening in the hearts and the souls of many. And it will continue on and on. Last week I had the privilege of seeing once more the picture of the Lost Horizon. And this is the story of Shangri-La. It was a little place high up in the Tibetan mountains, supposedly. And you went from a land which was absolutely bleak and covered with snow and ice, absolutely barren, where men could not live. And all of a sudden, this party was catapulted, because it had been arranged for, into this paradise, where right in the midst of all of this was this land of great beauty, of warm breezes, of beautiful flowers, soft winds, and above all, the people lived there in harmony with God's laws and at peace with one another. And the individual that I was with said to me, "You know, I've always had this dream for mankind that we would find a Shangri-La." And I said to that one, "Do you not realize that this is what I came to help you to have right now? That if you follow the things which are taught to you, the truth which is given you, you find that Shangri-La right inside of yourself. And as you strive ever harder to be at peace with all of your fellow men, to see God in every form that walks before you, to walk in harmony and to obey in harmony the laws of God, you will build the Shangri-La right on this earth. Just look at the army that has started, and this is only one small part. Because there are people like you all over the world, great movements being started. Nobody has a monopoly on truth, you see. And there are many great souls that have come on earth in rebirth at this time to swing this tremendous cycle back to God, because everything has been going away from God, and now we are at the bottom of the cycle and on the upward trend. And because this force has been going away from God for so long, it has tremendous impetus. It doesn't want to turn its face and go back to God. So the great ones have taken form on earth again to help this to come to pass. And the battle of Armageddon is indeed in process before you. All you have to do is to look around you at the world. You need not take my word for it. See the tremendous upheaval. See the tremendous force or war between the forces of good and evil. And you will know that it is here. But we need not wait for all the various thousands of years to come until we get into this age of golden light. Because there are always the elect, those who are chosen of God, to set the pattern, to set the way, to go the path, to show others the light. And each one individually can go all the way to God right now. He doesn't need to wait. And as each one gets this tremendous consciousness of God within himself, he becomes a light on a hilltop to lead the way for others. The magnetism of God is so great that people are drawn to him. The love of God in such a one is so great that they are drawn beyond their power to resist. More and more it is happening. More and more young people are coming because the search is so great. They are dissatisfied with what has been going on, and they are searching for the truth. They want to know, who am I? Where did I come from? What is this all about? What is my destiny? I remember reading something where someone said, "Lord, show me love. Give me love." And the Lord said to that one, "You are love." And he said to me, "Lord, show me my purpose." And the Lord said to him, "You are that purpose." And he said, "Show me peace." And he said, "You are that peace." And then he said a wonderful thing. "When you will find me, your questions will cease." Because having found your oneness with God, you become that truth. The answers to everything you've been wondering about all of your life is given to you. They're given to you. You know the truth because you have become that truth. You paid the price for knowing. And when you go through everything that is described in here within yourself, when you feel the earthquake, the tremendous upheaval of your human self, the release of the consciousness from your body structure, each one of the three bodily jars, when the atoms of your body must be released, they must be loosened in order that you find your oneness with God. You will know about this upheaval. You will find nation fighting against nation in yourself. This is all within yourself. Because you have built a complete universe, a complete world within yourself through your own thought processes, because you cannot possibly think unless you think of an image of a person, a place, or a thing. And in accordance with your thoughts, your actions, your words, you have peopled your universe. You have created the forms and the nations and the cities and the tribes and the heaven and the hell all within yourself. Because you see, you are co-creator with God. You are the microcosmic part of the macrocosmic whole. You are the separate cell of His one great body. But we have separated ourselves from life. We have not known how to live. And this is what we have to do now. We have to learn how to live in harmony with God's laws. We have to learn to forget our little selves and think only of Him. To love Him so much that we love Him more than ourselves. So much, in fact, that we are willing to give our life even as Jesus did, that we might be saved from sin. And when it says that Jesus died on the cross to save you from sin, it's not referring to just that one, but it is referring to the Savior on the cross of every man, because this is my cross as I stand here, my body. And this picture of the crucified cross that we see on all of the crucifixes is this human ego inside. This evil one that sits on the throne of God saying he is God. That one is the one that is shown that must be crucified on the cross of every man. And then comes the end of the worldly consciousness within yourself. It's not a thing of universal direction at this moment. It is the world within yourself and its hold on you. The world of the five senses. Because these senses keep you bound to the earth. They keep you bound in delusion, in ignorance, in darkness, so that you stand in the shadow of your own light. It's a tremendous thing when you think that you have the very Savior that is spoken above inside of yourself, because didn't He Himself not say, "Lo, I am with you always"? And this is the truth. Every moment, this infinite Savior is guiding you, directing you. In these dramatic last moments on the cross, it says a tremendous thing right from the beginning, you know. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Because all of these forces within you want to crucify this Savior. You see, because they know that if He is permitted to live, He will take over the kingdom. And they will not be here anymore, all of these forces. The two thieves on your cross will have died. And these two thieves, depicted as separate people on separate crosses, as it has been taught to us, are the forces of good and evil on your own cross. And you will remember that He said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." Then He said to John and Mary, who stood at the foot of the cross, "Mother, behold thy son." In other words, John, who represents love, would always be with her. And He said, "John, behold thy mother." And so He left comfort there. He left comfort there. And then He said, "I thirst." He wanted the water of human love, the water of the Spirit. He wanted understanding in His hour of need, and He didn't get it. Instead, He got vinegar. All of the reaction. Because as you go through this state, you are so distressed. You are between these two forces, and you certainly aren't acting in a normal state because you can't help yourself. This is the way of the cross. The 14 stations of the cross are your seven spinal centers with the two forces in each one. 7 times 2 is 14. And as the consciousness rises in the spine, as it comes to each special spinal center, the plane of consciousness changes, and the individual soul goes through different experiences. And one is trying to take him to God, to paradise. That is the good thief on the cross. And the other one is cursing every minute and trying to keep him from going. And the forces, because they are twins, operate equally. And so the higher the soul goes, the greater the opposition. Until finally, the final moment comes of the total crucifixion, and then you go over to the top into the oneness with God. It's a tremendous thing when you think of the real need of all of these things, because it happens to man individually as he goes this way. At one time, Jesus is made to say, "Father, if it be thy will, remove this cup from my lips. But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." He knows that it is a terrible experience to go through, because he is going to actually go through the experience of human death on his own cross. And he, who wants to do this? Who wants to do this? And yet he knows that this human ego must be crucified if he is to become one with the divine. He knows that this is true. And so he reaches out for God. And he says, "Father, Father, why hast thou forsaken me?" And there are many people who have thought that this indicated that Jesus did not have faith in God at this moment. But this is not true. Because when you go through that experience, your faith in God is supreme. You know he is there. It is only because the experience is so terrific that at one moment you can't find him. It is as though you are left all alone. You have no one, no place to turn, but yet you know that God is there. It's just that you cannot find him. And so he goes through all of this scourging, this lashing, by these forces on his own cross. And finally he comes to that great moment when the thief says, one thief says to the Christ, "If you be Christ, then save yourself from this crucifixion. Let us get down from the cross." And the other thief said to him, "We are getting only our just deeds." And he turned to Jesus and he said, "Lord, take me with thee to paradise." And Jesus looked at him with all love and said, "Today you shall be with me in paradise." And so it is, this magnetic force, this good thief on the cross goes up, and the other one is left cursing to go to his death. But that one, again, is necessary, because when you return finally to the consciousness in which you must function on this earthly plane, this one is necessary to sufficiently keep you in this human state so that you can work and function in the world. Then he said, "Father, I commend my soul to thee. It is finished." And he gave up the ghost. And that ghost represents the human ego. The human ego. Then he is entombed in the sepulcher, which is the heart center. And that stone must be removed by the angels. And so before that time, he descends into the hell, or the subconscious of his own being. And he goes through the various states as his consciousness is released from the three bodily jars: the physical, the astral or electrical, the idea, and the causal. And these states each are different, but he must meet these forces within himself and overcome them. But it is a tremendous thing that is happening to him. And he goes through many strange experiences of dancing, of singing, of rolling on the floor, of doing many strange things, because these forces are fighting and he's trying to hang on to God and get his direction, and he can't make it all the time, because it says in the Bible that Jesus fell. And no matter how hard you try, there are times when you fall flat on your face in your efforts. But nevertheless, you pick yourself up again and you carry your cross on the road to Golgotha. And that, incidentally, means the hill of the skull. And the Mount of Olives, where Jesus was crucified, is at the point between the eyebrows. The Mount of Olives, the two eyes. And this is the place of final illumination, the thousand-petal lotus of the brain. And when the human ego, the ego of the five senses, is crucified, that is still not the end. The risen Christ has come, but he still must ascend into the heaven of his own being. And there are still, after this tremendous experience, the 10 subtle qualities of the mind, which must be transformed and which must, in the end, be crucified. Because it is in the memory of the things that you did with regard to your senses that the trap still is there. It's still there. And so you try desperately to overcome this, and you can only do it through deep meditation, through full concentration upon God. And finally, this Christ seed, which has first dropped from the sacred cloister or clostrum underneath the brain, has gone behind the eyes and the nostrils and the throat passage, has crossed over at the base of the skull and gone down the ganglion nervous system to the conical-like cave or the manger, has made the circuit, has escaped from Egypt, and returns to Galilee. And the word Galilee means the circuit. And finally, as this Christ seed goes up to this point of Christ consciousness, the electrical current in the body meets the incoming current from the cosmos coming in this way, and the final crucifixion takes place, and you become a liberated and enlightened soul, able and qualified to do the work of God, to teach the truth. This is the truth. I can teach you this, I can tell you this with authority, because I was one who loved God so much that I not only was willing, but did give my life for Him. And I came back of my own volition through all of these experiences to give the truth, because at that moment I felt that all the children in the world, all the people in the world were my children. And I had to teach them the truth of my own experience. And not I, but God within me. Because this wasn't anything I imagined. I'd never heard of such a thing. I had never read about such a thing. But it was God Himself who lifted me up and put me through this experience so that I could teach the truth of the scriptures. When it speaks of the legs of the two thieves being broken, but not those of the Christ, of course it means that these two forces of good and evil within yourself have been broken after such an experience. But the Christ within you is not necessary to break that, his legs, because he is the life within you. He is the risen Christ. And the good news is that from then on, as he ascends into the heaven of his own being, that it is he alone who resides in your temple. It is he who thinks through you, who speaks, who acts. There is nothing but God in that temple, no matter how the outward appearance. But that one becomes an actor or an actress on the stage and plays whatever part is necessary for each individual one who comes before him. And to see the change in the lives of people when they find that they don't have to wait for an unknown Christ to come out of the clouds of heaven out here, but that by deep meditation, by living the good life, by sacrificing everything that they call their own, that they too may find this glorious resurrection within themselves. And when they are purified to receive him, that there he will be, coming out of the clouds of heaven within their own being. These are not my words, it's the words of Jesus, that the kingdom of heaven and God are within. So if this is true, where else is he going to come from except out of the cloud of heaven within your own consciousness when you have attained that state of virginity? Because virginity is a state to be attained. It is not something that you're born with just in the physical sense, because even though that happens, look what you go through in your human life. Can you say you are pure? Can you dare to say that you are working in harmony with God's laws to the point where you are lifted up, that you can meet him face to face, that you are ready to have this tremendous power of light flood your being? If you are not prepared sufficiently, it will burn you with the fire of 1,000 deaths. You must be conditioned. Don't reach for it before you are ready. Just reach for him, the eternal God. And he will lift you up, and he will put you through every experience to teach you the truth. You may or you may not believe me. Even as when Thomas was told that Christ had arisen, he didn't believe. He had to see him with his own eyes. He had to see the nails in his hands and his feet and put his hands in the wound in his side. And Christ said to him, "Blessed are ye, Thomas, that seeing ye believe, but more blessed are those who, not having seen, still believe." So you have been given the method for meditation. You are being given the art of living, the way of life. And you can go within your own temple. You can commune with the living God within there.
And you can prove or disprove for yourself if you are willing to make the effort whether or not I speak the truth. I know I do, you see, because many have started going through these same experiences which are described in here. And what are they to do if someone doesn't come to show them what terrific experiences these are and what they really mean, and to give them the knowledge and the hope that these things will pass, and to tell them what to do as they are experiencing them, how to protect themselves from this tremendous kundalini fire, this serpent force which rises in the spine. You must know this, because this force must be controlled, otherwise it runs rampant. So as I've told you, if this fever, this fire, this shaking gets in you so terrifically, then get an ice pack and put it on your head. Take 2 aspirins and lie in your bed and calm and relax your whole body with your full attention upon God, and this will take this fever, this fire, down. Otherwise, it may destroy some of the brain cells. I went through all of this. I know it. For 7 days, I went without any food, drink, any bodily functions of any sort while this fire burned within me. And they brought doctors in trying to get to me, to give me shots, to get anything to calm this fever down. I wouldn't let them near me. And they were fearful that the damage would be great. So finally, Mother Krishnabai put me out on the back porch, and these boys formed a bucket brigade from the well with these big brass buckets on their head. And I, in just a cotton shirt and a pair of short pants, sat on this stool, and they came and poured this water over my head one by one. I felt like I was drowning, but it did break the fever. And finally, I started to come out of that. But for 4.5 months, I went through this experience of the crucifixion. I went through the state of death. I had the paralysis, the rigor mortis that went in afterwards. And when I came back, the smell of death was upon me. And even those that were nearest and dearest to me didn't want anything to do with me, because they smell that death and they're afraid of it. And the individual soul who needs this understanding, who is thirsting for it, who needs love and understanding more than any other time in their lives, don't get it. You don't get it. And you've got to work out of it all by yourself until one day you realize what has really happened to you. And it is quite an experience when you realize that in truth you have died. You have died. I can remember it well, and the cold chills that went up and down my back. But though he were dead, still he lives, it says. And then one thing after another was revealed to me of the meaning of the experiences that I had gone through. And the meaning of the robe and the Roman soldiers who cast dice for it. Because the garment that is left, you see, is your body. And in it are all the tendencies that you had before, because the Savior is entombed in it. He is dead, you see. And so they have full residency in here. So the one habit pattern that you have had the most trouble with in your life is the one that gets the robe. That's the one you're going to have trouble with until the risen Christ comes in and helps you to your new understanding and the final blazing reality of God within yourself. It is not a short journey. It is a long journey. I went through it for 12 long years before I came out of it and could work and function in the state of balance that I now have. So that I can walk any place in the world. I can go any place, do anything that anyone else does. And only those who have eyes to see, those who have ears to hear, know the difference. This is the way God has made me. I take no credit, no glory. And when it says, if Christ comes here and Christ comes there, believe him not. He's in the desert or he's in the hills. Believe him not. Because the Christ is in every man, every single one. You have the living Christ within yourself. If there is any good news I can give you, it is that knowledge that if you will do your part, if you will have the courage to overcome all things, to love God more than you love yourself, to be willing to undergo anything for him, even the state of death of your own human ego, that I tell you for sure that you will rise again, the risen Christ within yourself, and he will be glorified within you. And you will become masters, not slaves to your desires. You will walk the earth as free men, liberated souls. And you will find an adventure a fulfillment that will satisfy your further dream. There is nothing that you can think of that is so tremendous, so beautiful, so wonderful, so fulfilling as that. Because don't forget that when you've gone through that experience, you have complete dominion over all of the things of heaven and earth. And whatever you need is given to you at will. You need not study, because again, the 30 pieces of silver that Judas the ego sold out the Christ for are the knowledge of each one of the bodily functions that are attached to the one brain. But you go through these three separate experiences with the 10 qualities of the mind, and this makes 30, because you want to know, and your very desire to know all of the things on the various planes within yourself, the clairvoyant, the occultism, all of the experiences that you can in this higher experience of seeing celestial beings. That's what you sell out your Savior for. That's what you sell him out for. The 30 pieces of silver. And then you will remember that because he betrayed Christ, he hung himself on the tree upside down. And this is the way the ego is within yourself. Because he must die, he must be crucified for what he has done. But when you get the truth, you have tapped the fountainhead of all knowledge, all wisdom, and all power, all love. And this grows and grows and grows within yourself. You have not reached a plateau where you become bored because you have attained your realization, your liberation. Because God is so vast. He is eternal. He is infinite. And it goes on forever and forever and forever. What you have attained is the realization of your oneness with him. But no human being ever attains total God realization. You attain the total knowledge of your oneness with him. And having attained that, then and then alone are all things made available to you when you need them. It is unending. It is wonderful. It is fulfilling. It is glorious. And you are so filled with the love of God that you can take anybody in your arms, I don't care who they are. Black magic, voodoo, Satan worshippers, anything else, you can take them in your arms and you can melt them with that love of God within yourself. It is not a thing of the mind. It is not a thing of hypocrisy, because you have become that love, just as I said before about the man that said, "Give me love." And the Lord said, "You are that love. You are that purpose. You are that furthest dream. You now. You have this Shangri-La within yourself." If only one goes to God, my guru said, 25 generations follow after. And I look at the people that have come through the years, because I had the courage to give all of myself to God. And once I had a tremendous vision of myself with the Christ leading me, and all this procession as far as the eyes could see, all walking in twos toward God. It was a wonderful, wonderful vision. And you see, it isn't only me, because I'm only one. All of you have God within you. And as each one of you attain your God realization, then you can be a light to many. You can start a procession of your own. And that is how the army of God grows, until his light, the flame of his power and his wisdom and his glory, will sweep the world. My guru said in prophecy one day, "There will be much suffering, but what of it? If we all work together in love and harmony, these teachings of the truth will sweep the world." And that's what we have to do. Give divine love and service to God in one another, and we will find in truth the glory of life and of God within ourselves. Now let us pray. O Lord, divine beloved,
O Lord, divine beloved,
saturate my being with the perfume of thy presence. Fill my heart with the ecstasy of thy love. Entrance my soul with the music of thy angels.
Enhance my soul with the music of thy angels.
Until the bliss of my communion with thee.
Until the bliss of my communion with thee.
Pours forth. To tell of the beauty and the wonder.
To tell of the beauty and wonder.
And the glory of thy second coming.
And the glory of thy second coming.
O Heavenly Father.
O Heavenly Father.
Divine Mother.
Divine Mother.
I feel the wonder and the beauty.
I feel the wonder and the beauty.
Of thy glorious presence.
Of thy glorious presence.
In every part of my being.
In every part of my being.
My heart is bursting with my love for thee.
My heart is bursting with my love for thee.
I kneel in adoration at thy feet.
I kneel in adoration at thy feet.
And surrender myself to thee.
And surrender myself to thee.
I feel the power of thy perfection.
I feel the power of thy perfection.
Surging in every cell of my body.
Surging in every cell of my body.
My mind and my intelligence.
My mind and my intelligence.
Are radiant with thy healing light.
Are radiant with thy healing light.
My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss.
My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss.
Of my communion with thee.
Of my communion with thee.
I and my Father are one.
I and my Father are one.
Blessed Spirit, I am he.
Blessed Spirit, I am he.
O Heavenly Father.
O Heavenly Father.
Open my eyes that I may see thy face.
Open my eyes that I may see thy face.
Open my ears that I may hear thy footsteps everywhere.
Open my ears that I may hear thy footsteps everywhere.
Open my heart that I may feel the glory of thy love.
Open my heart that I may feel the glory of thy love.
O Heavenly Father.
O Heavenly Father.
May thy love shine forever.
May thy love shine forever.
Upon the sanctuary of my devotion.
Upon the sanctuary of my devotion.
May I be able to awaken thy love in all hearts.
May I be able to awaken thy love in all hearts.
And bring them to thee.
And bring them to thee.
Oh.